for the best Ravens coverage. What time is it? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel enjoying his music as we head into the weekend. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Other side of the glass, Ravens back at practice yesterday, talking about various subjects ahead of their matchup with Tampa Bay Monday night. Down there, Monday Night Football, Ravens 3.5-point favorites in said game. But Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing through the first 6 weeks. He's almost in double digits, touchdowns as well. Derrick Henry was asked about those accomplishments so far.
I'm blanking it out. I ain't even thinking about it. Just focus on week by week, how I can get better, how I can improve, and, you know, help this offense and, you know, us really making each other better. And like I said on Sunday, just focus on being 1-0. Got to ignore the other stuff.
Bob, there was a lot of discussion yesterday about, should they, start to kind of not give him as many reps because he's playing so many, carrying the ball so many times. There was a lot of concern that, and I said, Harb's going to play it week to week. You know, and this is a guy that takes care of his body, spends $250,000 a year on taking care of his body, eating right. And I was telling Cordell, a guy like Clinton Portis didn't like to work out, ate McDonald's for breakfast, didn't take care of himself. And most times he couldn't even practice till Friday. And his career was over, at like 28. So, that's the difference between taking care of your body, not taking care of your body. Look at Brady. Guys that take care of their bodies, how much longer that they play.
And you talked about the, Harb's playing it by ear, if you will. Against Cincinnati, the carries were under 20 because, I guess, the way the Bengals were throwing things at them defensively, they improvised and adapted with the flow, and it was more of an air assault. Actually, it has been last couple of weeks for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, and the thing about it is when's all his carries been? The second half. Mm-hmm. A lot of them in the fourth. Last week he only had 9, in the first half, yeah. And then he had 15. So, that's what you would – that's ideal situation. Lamar throws it 19 times in the first half, throws it 7 in the second half. Perfect.
Now, going into the season, going back to March, talking about the offensive line. Major area of concern, even through training camp. What did John Harbaugh say at minicamp? I'd like to have my starting 5 decided within, the first 3 weeks of training camp?
Yeah.
Well, didn't happen that way. But here we are 6 weeks into the regular season. The offensive line has come together. Here's Derrick Henry talking about that subject.
Yeah, I just think that's the chemistry they have of wanting to get better, wanting to make each other better, and, just finding any way to improve week after week. And I love them. I love that about them. And like I told y'all Sunday in the locker room, I just told them thank you because the unselfishness, putting their bodies on the line, and they're doing a hell of a job blocking. It's much appreciated by me. See, they're coming off the field right now. Look at them.
Yeah, and Bob, really, they didn't get their line, their 5. They didn't get it till what was it, like week 3? Once Voorhees got hurt, then McCary went to guard and Rosengarten to tackle. And then it's been 4-0 since, and they're getting better and better. You can see it improve. The guy who is improved so much, and I've said it, Falele, it's night and day how he's improved because he was god-awful in those first couple. It looked like he couldn't even move. But then all of a sudden it was like, damn, where'd that guy come from? I don't know if he... finally got in shape because always at camp he'd be sucking wind. He wasn't in shape. Probably it's hard carrying 380 pounds around, I'm guessing. So he looks good, and he's even getting better in the pass. They still struggle some, but he's improving in that. In the play action pass, he's real good in there. And if you're a big dude, if they just have a big defensive tackle like Washington did, and you're just going to try to bull him, he'll eat you up. He struggles with quickness.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday. Ravens have 5 primetime games. Number 3 is coming up against Tampa. You still have Cincinnati on the 7th, Thursday night. And then you go to L.A., taking on the Chargers, November the 25th. And who knows what happens with the flex fund. going on as we get into the second half of the season. But here's Derrick Henry talking about those primetime games and looking forward to Monday Night Football.
And they've been playing a primetime game before I got here, and you know, I just think it's just the stage, and you know, we just treat it like another game, and you know, get prepared for it. But you know, we're going to Tampa. It's a very good team. That's a very good team, very good defense, and who plays hard, who flies to the ball. I think they're solid all around, very solid. Probably one of the best defenses we've faced this year. So it's going to be a good one, a tough matchup.
I'm not sure what film that he was watching, you know, or looked at the stats. I mean,
ELE, everybody love everybody.
Yes, everybody love everybody. Best defense that they played against. I don't think he's going to say that come Monday night afterwards that it's the best. I mean, they've had a lot of guys beat up and hurt and stuff. So with Vita Vea in there, yeah, they're damn good. But, you know, he doesn't play every snap. When he's out, no, they don't get off blocks very well. And, Bob, they're linebackers. And they're both good players, but they're 230 pounds, 225. I mean, Henry's a lot bigger. And then a guy like Filele, if you just come and you just push, you know, with your arm, 230 will go flying.
Now, Lamar Jackson, Nolan, help me out here. He's only lost once against the NFC, and that was against the Giants in that whatever it was a couple years back. At the Meadowlands when the Ravens blew the lead fourth quarter. But what's he, 23-1 or something like that?
22-1.
22. Either way, it's a dominating performance against that particular conference. Like to see him in a Super Bowl setting, see how that goes. But Lamar was asked, hey, anything you can put your finger on about why you have been so good against them?
Just all-around team effort, game planning. Probably just because we've seen each other once a year, so it's like hard to game plan for us. So a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and they play him once every, 4 years a lot of times, you know, so you don't see that guy often. And the other thing is when you're playing your division, and you're playing teams you play every year, in the summertime, you know, you're studying those. You're studying your division guys. What are they doing different? What personnel is different? And all those things. Whereas the NFC teams, unless they're like in the first three games that you play, you're not. The only time you're working on them is that week. So it's hard to prepare for Lamar Jackson, especially during the middle of the year, Bob, when all you're doing is you're practicing Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, let's count our weekend money, hopefully buy or sell. Talk about the many sports subjects of this day. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, talk about the baseball playoffs. We're into the championship series. Yankees and Indians, Guardians. We have what going on there. Dodgers, they have the Mets up against. They got Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens going to Tampa, trying to get a win on the road. They are favorite, however. So how do they maintain that advantage?
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, featured artist Friday. It's the great Billy Joel with his endless selection of awesomeness. Pick a song, we'll play it. Nolan's over there waiting for you. Send your request, Plaza Sport text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Nightingale, future Hall of Fame baseball writer, USA Today, joining us bottom of the hour. Talk about the championship series in both leagues. But right now, it's Vinny and Haney. Let's count that dough by yourself.
Right now, my phone is green.
Nice.
The Dow's up 4. S&P's up 17. NASDAQ's up 91. DraftKings up 88 cents. And Under Armour's up 2 cents.
Get started here in the NFL. Since Davante Adams has arrived in New York, the Jets wide receiver depth chart starting to look pretty full. Because of this, the team is shopping Mike Williams, who they signed to a one-year deal in free agency this offseason. Through six games, it's been hard for him to find a role. Just 145 yards for him, no touchdowns either. Among the teams listed as interested in buying him at this year's deadline, the Steelers, Saints, and his former team, the Chargers, have been identified as maybe the top three teams interested. The reunion factor there with the Chargers, that would be interesting, given that, you know, Williams' contract much more affordable now. But Vinny, are you buying or selling that he ends up back in L.A.?
I mean, Pittsburgh could really use him, you know, and they wouldn't do that till after the game because they play each other Sunday. It's whoever gives them the best deal. Chargers could use them too. I'll soft buy it, you know, because they're one of the teams that really need a receiver. And Aaron Rodgers kind of criticized them last week. He ran the wrong route.
Threw him out of the bus, yeah.
Yeah, ran the wrong route. So I think, too, Norm, they're not even letting him practice because they don't want him to get hurt.
Very telling. How about some NBA news here? Nuggets coach Michael Malone made an interesting decision in one of his team's recent preseason games. He had Nikola Jokic and many other prospective starters play a full third quarter. This was last Sunday when they played the Suns. Afterwards asked, hey, why'd you have your starters out there for an entire quarter, second half at that? And this is what Malone had to say, quote, I played that starting unit the whole third quarter to try to push the envelope a little bit. That was probably a little bit hard on some of those guys. The league has gotten so soft, everybody's afraid to condition and run. Well, we have to. Are you buying or selling Malone's take on the status of the league?
Let's see. Soft league?
Afraid to condition.
I've never taken an elbow to the face from an NBA player, and you know, almost passed out running suicides, fresh soft Calvert Hall way back when. I'm going to soft buy it, though. Load management is a term I'd never heard of before until the NBA kind of invented it. And Mike Malone, Loyola Greyhound, by the way, he's got an NBA championship ring he can throw in your face whenever he wants. So if he says it, I'll go ahead and take his word for it. Hey, they got to run for redemption. Remember Minnesota beat them, and Edwards was chirping, and Jokic is like, why you got to do that, man? You've won the game. What do you like? So, yeah, I'm buying. Matter of fact, I'll buy it, what Michael Malone is saying.
Now, Jokic is saying, hey, my brothers are sitting right over there in the stands. You better pipe down a little bit.
That's right. They will take you out like Serbian mafia.
All right, back to the NFL. The 49ers sit at 3-3 entering this intriguing matchup against the Chiefs. There's been some puzzling losses in there, mainly to L.A. and Arizona, but they do remain in a good spot as they try to go on another deep playoff run. A big key to the success that they have had has been Brock Purdy changing up his game a little bit. The efficiency that he displayed in previous years, that remains present, but with some of his weapons not in the mix, he's actually started to take off and scramble a little bit more. Already 127 yards on the ground through six games. For reference, all of last year, he had 144 on the ground, so already coming close to that. Vinny, buy or sell, we're seeing a better version or a more complete version of Brock Purdy this year, despite overall team results.
I'll buy that. I'll buy it. You know, I mean, they've had a lot of injuries, you know, and Aguilar missed time and McCaffrey's not there. So, yeah, he's got more on his shoulders now.
More from the NBA, the Celtics boasted the league's best offense last year on their way to a championship, and they'll be retaining most of that core heading into this season. Will they repeat as the top offense? Well, longtime NBA writer Sam Quinn has a differing opinion, has the Western Conference champion Dallas Mavericks as his pick for the top offense in the league, saying that Dallas cracked the code in many ways last year, getting the Luka and Kyrie Irving duo to actually work. And then on top of that, adding to it with players like Klay Thompson in free agency. Bob, are you buying or selling that they have the pieces to be the best offense in the NBA?
I'm going
to
sell it because Klay Thompson, what are you getting there? I mean, he looks like a guy that's well past his prime from the Splash Brother days in Golden State. And look, Kyrie Irving's in his 30s now. It's not like this guy's, fresh out of Duke doing his thing from way back when. Still a premier player, one of the best in the world. But I'm going to sell that. I mean, there could be some more high... Hey, look at Oklahoma City there in the West being a high-efficiency, high-scoring offense and all the fun stuff there. So I'm selling that.
And lastly here, Josh Allen, he was on fire to begin the season. And while his numbers have come back down to earth a little bit, still very good overall. Through 6 weeks, has yet to throw an interception. That's something that's been a huge problem for him throughout his career. Just last year, had a career-high 18 picks, and every year besides 2019, he's finished with at least 10 interceptions on his stat line. As a result, that's brought down his passer rating throughout his career. Only had one season where he finished with a rating above 100. That was in 2020. Buy or sell, Vinny, Allen will go on to finish this year with a passer rating over 100.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it. And he's got more that he needs to do. I mean, they're relying on him a lot because the defense is not very good. And those receiving, you know, now that they got Cooper, that's going to help. But, you know, everybody says, well, are they Kansas City's biggest threat? Hell no. The Ravens spanked them. Houston beat them. They're good, and the Jets should have beat them if the kicker makes kicks. So, yeah.
Playoff-worthy team, for sure. Franchise quarterback, for sure. Yes. I mean, look at their win-loss record since he took over as the starter. But the turnovers, as you pointed out, a lot of does in there. And some of these, like, what the hell are you thinking kind of decisions as well. But I agree with you. Biggest threat to Kansas City is the Ravens.
No doubt.
Sorry. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk baseball playoffs with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. A game for the ages. Game three at that. Cleveland and the Yankees walk off homer David Fry. Can the Mets stay alive? And we'll tease a little off-season maneuvering here. Corbin Burns, we'll get Bob's thoughts. He's educated. He's in the know. Corbin Burns, is it a 0% chance he comes back to the Orioles? Or is it, Lloyd Christmas said famously, a dumb and dumber? It's one in a million. So you're saying there's a chance.
Oh, no doubt.
Because it's a classic song. Yeah. It moves people. It resonates and it touches you. And Keith Cavanaugh wants to hear it most importantly. So we got Billy Joel covered. If there's something you want to get deep cut wise, send a request to the Plaza Port text line at 410-583-1057. And Nolan McGraw will make it happen for you. Going to talk to Bob Nightingale here in a matter of minutes from USA Today. Talk about the league championship series as you have L.A. They're on the verge of knocking the Mets out as Jack Flaherty, former Oriole, is going for the clincher. And Jack Flaherty had a bounce-back season. We saw him for 2.5 months in Baltimore. Not good. Not good for the Orioles. Signed with the Detroit Tigers. Reestablished himself as an effective right-hander. Got traded from the Tigers, who were selling. Still managed to make the playoffs, but Flaherty has probably earned himself some dough. Here to talk about that and more, future Hall of Fame baseball writer. It's Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw from USA Today. He is the one and only Bob Nightingale. Bob, what's happening?
Yeah, doing good. How about yourself, Bob?
Doing all right, Bob. Appreciate your time as always. Before we get to the series themselves, Jack Flaherty today trying to close things out for L.A. We were talking about his brief period in Baltimore didn't go well, but how much money has Jack Flaherty earned himself in 2024, especially given his playoff success here?
Yeah, she's getting something nice for a payday. I'm not sure if he'll get $100 million, but he may get close to that. It's funny. I mean, the Yankees were supposed to have him. They had the trade done, then they nixed it because they didn't like the physical. It's amazing what's happened since.
Now, with L.A. About to close things out, teams have overcome 3-1 deficits before, as you know, so the Mets are up against it. However, watching Ohtani in his first playoff setting, he hasn't wilted under the pressure by any stretch. He homered last night to lead off the game. But what about Ohtani, watching him do his thing, and as he gets healthier, moving ahead in his Dodger career? What do we see with Shohei Ohtani, 50-50 guy, first playoffs, and living up to the hype?
Yeah, I mean, he struggled early on in the postseason, like a lot of stars do. But yeah, come on the last few days. And it'd be interesting to see his future, how long he pitches. He'll pitch next year, maybe the year after that. But I think that might be it. I think he'll just kind of focus on being a hitter. And as he's shown, he's one of the best hitters on the planet.
Now for the Mets, yeah, Peterson going today against Flaherty, as we just talked about. New York, obviously, they need to win games and score more runs than L.A., but realistically, what needs to happen today for them to keep this series moving and back to Chavez Ravine?
Well, really, a miracle. Peterson's a nice left-handed pitcher. I mean, it's up to him. I mean, the series has been so lopsided. I think it's the worst, biggest lopsided series ever in the first four games. Dodgers off a score on 39. But really, the NLCS, maybe the World Series, was the Dodgers-Padres. That was a series that deserved to go 7 games, and the Padres are clearly better than the Mets.
Hey, Bob, how good was last night's game, the Yankee-Guardians game? I mean, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was a classic. I mean, both LCSs were terrible as far as drama and everything else, but finally had a great game.
Yeah.
I mean, they looked like a ho-hum victory by Cleveland. They got turned up, you know, turned upside down. They got turned upside down again. It was amazing, that home run. It kind of reminded me of Cleveland's World Series in 2016. You know, when they came back against the Cubs and tied down the Rajah Davis home run. Just came out of nowhere.
Who do you expect to come out of that series, Bob?
Well, the Yankees are the better team. It's just going to be the Yankees. I thought the Yankees would win in five. I'll still stick with that. But, yeah, they're just a more complete team. I mean, Cleveland's got the bullpen, but you kind of worry about Class A now. I mean, maybe he's run to a wall because he's given up more runs already this postseason than he did all season.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, future Hall of Fame writer, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. I was just going to ask you about the bullpen. So Class A, he given up three home runs in the playoffs, only two during the regular season. But what about New York's bullpen? Holmes has been a disaster in the second half. Weaver gets the blown save last night. So if it's a save situation, if you're deciding, Bob Nightingale, who's going to have the advantage at least for one night, whose bullpen's better equipped for another dramatic game?
I'll probably still go to the Yankees, just because they call save factor. I mean, he's just not himself, giving up the runs that he has. So, Weaver's come out of nowhere. I never thought Luke Weaver would do this. I mean, he was one of the guys in the Paul Goldschmidt trade. And then it's just been a disaster. And then he kind of came out of nowhere. He's got one of the best turnarounds I've ever seen for a pitcher. Now he's becoming an elite reliever.
All right, Bob, we'll let you roll because we know you're a busy man covering the baseball playoffs like nobody else. Here in Baltimore, disappointment, getting the playoffs 2 years in a row, great. Haven't won a game, which sucks. Corbin Burnes is hitting free agency. We know Boris had a debacle of an offseason with his free agents last year. If you were on a scale of 1 to 10, the Orioles at least competing to keep Corbin Burnes around for the long term, what would you give the Orioles chances right now based on what you're hearing?
I'd probably say a 3. I just think he's going to get so much money in the free agent market, over $200 million. I don't know if the Orioles want to go that route. He lives in Phoenix in the off season. I would think he'd prefer to stay west. So, but they got to spend some money. They got to be aggressive. You don't want to waste this window they have. So, it should have been more aggressive than trade deadline. I think you need to be more aggressive in free agency. Take advantage of the great young talent they have.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Bob, always great to hear from you. Enjoy the rest of the championship series, and we'll talk to you before the Fall Classic here.
All right, sounds great. Take care, guys.
Yep. See you, there's Bob Nightingale, everybody. So a 3. I thought he was going to say a 0, but a 3. By all accounts, he did like it here and was cool with his teammates. But again, Scott Boras kind of whiffed last year. He got fired by Jordan Montgomery. And I don't think he's going to let that happen. And the Diamondbacks have shown a willingness to spend dough before. So we shall see. But if they don't sign Corbin Burnes and Rubenstein's willing to spend dough, you're going to have to reallocate that money somewhere else. Because if Burnes leaves, we all know, you're going to need another veteran pitcher.
No doubt.
And I don't know if Jack Flaherty, quite frankly, would be the answer there. Maybe you dangle some of these prospects because you still have a few to trade for a controllable guy. Do you go for Taters to spend big dough on him to keep him around? Or are you looking for more on-base guys than just going for the fences? It's going to be an interesting... Hey, look, and I know Felix Bautista's coming back next year, but can you sit here with great confidence, Nolan, you get in on this real quick, and expect him to be the guy he was 2023? I'm not holding my breath waiting for that.
No, and quite frankly, it's kind of a fear in the back of your head that he never recaptures it. But, of course, that was such an elite level that even if he didn't get hurt, there was a chance he would never attain that again. But just being a closer presence, which is something the Orioles didn't have this year, would be a huge boost.
But I think we'll all agree, getting to the playoffs, great. Having all-stars, awesome. Now it's time to win.
Yeah.
It's all about winning now. No more waiting around and watching the world go by baseball-wise. It's time to be proactive and maybe spend some dough. We'll see. We'll all follow it together. In the offseason, we'll come back. Ravens, that's a team. Hey, Super Bowl or bust for them. And a step towards the Super Bowl takes them to Tampa on Monday night. Hey, the Buccaneers trying to get back to the playoffs, win their division. So it's a big game for both teams. Ravens, 3.5-point favorites. Vinny's keys to victory coming up next. News from the Nest, top of the hour. We're going to hear more from Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, and others. We're going to do our picks for this weekend. We all had Denver. Only a moron would have picked New Orleans last night. Almost did, but glad I did not. And then Eric at home, NFL.com, round 1:30. It's Vinny, Haney, Nolan, Billy Joel. We're rocking here on The Fan.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on, and we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Billy Joel, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Anything you want to hear from him, send your request, pause for text line. 410-583-1057. But coming up Monday night, Ravens, winners of four in a row at Tampa. 4-2 Buccaneers coming off a demolition last week of the New Orleans Saints. Ravens 3.5-point favorites in this ballgame. Vinny, how do the Ravens make it five in a row as they try to maintain an advantage atop the AFC North?
Number one is they're going to have to tackle well, especially Godwin after the catch. 324 yak yards. It's going to be imperative that they tackle well because they like to throw the ball short. They like to hit their running backs out of the backfield, let them run with it. And like I said, Godwin's got 324 yak yards. They've got to tackle well. Can't have missed tackles. Number two, make Tampa one-dimensional. Now, they are eighth in the rush with 136.8 yards, and I'm saying that they need to give them less than 65 yards. Last week, Washington was second in the league in rushing, and they held them to what, like 52? And that's got to be the same type thing. Make them one-dimensional, put it all on Baker, put it all on, make them throw it 45 times, because then you are going to get some turnovers. Three or less 20 plus plays for them, no explosives. You know, I mean, I still recall five against the Raiders in the fourth quarter. No big plays. Make them earn it, because if they got to go 10 plays drives all the time, I don't know that they can do that without screwing up eventually.
What Washington had last week? Five for the game, if I'm not mistaken.
And then this one would be big. Get two interceptions and three plus sacks. I mean, he threw three last week. They're going to have to throw it a lot. And three plus sacks, I really think that Matabike and Travis Jones are going to cause a lot of problems inside, a lot. And you know what? Then the outside guys may reap the benefits of that, because he's going to have to, you know, can't go up the middle, so he's going to have to bounce out one way or the other. And to me, that sounds like an Oway-type sack.
He's been sacked, Baker Mayfield, 17 times. Denver got on him, what, seven in that one game. But as you pointed out, Vinny, on the right side of their offensive line, troublesome.
Yes. And then the next one, over 400 yards of offense for the Ravens. Over 400 yards. And that's nothing. I mean, they're averaging 453. So just, you know, be you. Because if they do that, they're going to score 30 points or more. And then can Tampa keep up? That's the thing.
We'll do stats on Monday, but, you know, Tampa's given up over 360 a game as it is defensively.
And then next, Lamar be Lamar, Derek be Derek. So what does that mean? 250-plus for Lamar throwing, 125-plus for Derek. I think it's attainable. I mean, Tampa's defense is 26th. They're 28th against the pass. Now, against the rush, they're 12th. They give up 113. So, I would take those numbers. And if they do that, then they're going to have over probably 30 minutes of time of possession. And Derek will probably be trying to close the game out at the end of the game again. I mean, to me, that's kind of been their MO as of late. Lamar's been throwing over 300. I always say like 250, and he gets over 300. And then Henry has been running for over 125, and the O-line's getting better, and they're gaining more confidence and stuff, and the receivers are all getting involved. Like, Who's it going to be? Last week, Bob, it was Zay. They liked Zay's matchup. Who is it this week? Is it a tight end? Well, whoever the 24, Tampa's right corner, he's an undrafted free agent, Bob. I mean, pick me. I think that may be Bateman. And then last but not least, no turnovers. You can't beat yourself. I mean, Ravens score almost every time last week if they don't have the turnover. So they can't afford to turn the ball over because the only way that they stop themselves offensively is by turning the football over. You know, and they got lucky with the fumbled snap not turning into a turnover because it ended up being 3 points for them.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Tony Bennett, as we talked about, and you sure you heard yesterday, retired as head coach basketball men, University of Virginia, met with the media today, and real quick, retired because of the current environment. College sports, the hardest thing to say is when I looked at myself and I realized I'm no longer the best coach to lead this program in this current environment. Talking about the NIL era, yep. If you're going to do it, you got to be all in. If you do it half-hearted, it's not fair to the university and to those young men. So in looking at it, that's what made me step down. I think it's right for student-athletes to receive revenue. Revenue, please don't mistake me. The game and the college athlete, it's not in a healthy spot. It's just not. Needs to be changed, and it's not going to go back. I think I was equipped to do the job here the old way. That's who I am. College is closer, to the professional model. Going to be collective bargaining and all that. He just, his dad, longtime coach, Dick Bennett, he played college basketball. Tony played in the NBA. The timing, though, just doesn't make sense to me.
The only way, and Bob, I'm trying to remember who did this. The only reason that it makes a lot of sense, Bob, is if you know that, if he retired like after the season last year, because they said he was talking about it in May or what.
Sure.
If he did it there, they go on a national search, all right, and his guys are out. He waits till right now. One of his assistants is getting the job.
Ron Sanchez got the job, who was a longtime assistant for him, then went to Charlotte, and then he quit as the head coach of the 49ers to come back last year. Jason Williford, who played for Virginia back in the mid-90s when Joe Smith, Keith Booth were at the University of Maryland, played for Jeff Jones and all those good teams then, and Junior Burrow comes to mind for that squad. So in-house replacement in Ron Sanchez. Now, whether or not he'll be the long-term guy, that remains to be seen. So Tony Bennett said, peace out. I'm done. 55 yeah. NIL, re-kissing ass over and over again. Now trying to generate revenue. It is what it is.
Yeah. But I would bet that's why he did it.
And you know better than anyone, college sports has always been big business. Now it's just above board when it comes to paying.
Now it's not coaching. You know, you don't get to coach. I mean, the older guys, Bob, they want to coach. Now you're not coaching. Head coach, you're not coaching. You're recruiting every day. You're raising NIL money. You're doing all these other things other than what you really want to do.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. So Tony Bennett gone at the University of Virginia. And based on what he said as he met with the media, to never return. 55, though, you think it's in his blood, man.
Yeah, Espetino.
Yeah, he's back. We'll come back. News from the Nets. Going to hear from the NFL lunch, excuse me. Going to hear more from the Ravens ahead of their matchup against Tampa. We'll do our picks for college and pro this weekend. And then Eric at home, NFL.com. Saints have lost 5 in a row. Does that mean Dennis Allen's in trouble?